fish near lunch. This is appropriate. We're going to be moving into Pacific Halibut Management Overview. This is a briefing, and I hope you come with samples, too.
Chris is so smart. Chris is so smart.
Yes. Yeah. Well spoken.
I did not bring samples. I'm sorry.
I went out with the enforcement boat the other day, and I was told by one of the officers that in Puget Sound they caught a 170-pound halibut. That's true?
Yes.
Wow, that's...
Yes, a very large halibut was caught this year. So my name is Michelle Culver. I'm the regional director for Region 6, Montesano, and with me is Heather Reed, who's our marine resources coastal fishery manager, who oversees our management for coastal crab, our halibut fisheries, and our bottom fish fisheries. So we wanted to give you a briefing on how Pacific halibut are managed, and you, I think, should have received some briefing materials. So you, in addition to the summary sheet, we also provided a report that we had submitted to the Pacific Fishery Management Council in September 2010 that gives a little bit of background on how halibut are allocated throughout the West Coast amongst the different fishery sectors and what's the history there. And then a couple of items from the most recent council meeting in June. One is a report from WDFW that explains our Puget Sound catch estimate methods and some updated catch estimates for the past few years. And another is a letter that the council received from the International Pacific Halibut Commission relative to catch accounting and calls out our Puget Sound halibut fishery and the overages that have occurred there. We appreciate the commission requesting this briefing. This is very timely for us. We have had five meetings with our ad hoc Puget Sound Halibut Advisory Group. We have a sixth meeting that's coming up scheduled on September 1st to try and talk about how to potentially extend the season. So their season has been shortened in the past few years, and how to do better with our catch accounting, get more timely catch information. We did have a proposal from Puget Sound Anglers that I'll go over as well that we are folding into the agency's legislative request package. So very positive discussions on Puget Sound halibut. So in the presentation, we'll be giving an overview on how halibut are managed. It's fairly complicated with a lot of overlapping jurisdictions, what the roles and processes for halibut management are, starting at the international level between the U.S. and Canada, the U.S. including both the West Coast and the state of Alaska, the management by the Pacific Fishery Management Council, and then what the role is of the states in support of those federal management processes. And then we'll specifically review what does WDFW do in support for management relative to catch accounting, producing our catch estimates, where we are on our key issues and next steps. So the International Pacific Halibut Commission is responsible for the conservation of halibut. They're the primary entity for doing the biology, the research, an annual survey, an annual stock assessment. They set the annual catch quotas for both the United States and Canada. Again, that includes the state of Alaska. And they provide management oversight and some general guidance to both the U.S. and Canada on regulations. Then for the West Coast area, the Pacific Fishery Management Council has the allocation authority, so they take the quota that is provided by the Halibut Commission for the West Coast, and there's a catch-sharing plan that describes how those fish would be allocated or shared amongst the different fishery sectors and the different fisheries within the three states. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council has a similar catch-sharing plan that they've developed for the state of Alaska and how the fish are shared there amongst those different sectors as well. The National Marine Fisheries Service has the rulemaking authority for halibut to implement the regulations that the Halibut Commission adopts. And the council serves as a coordinating mechanism for the West Coast states. So as I go through this, you'll see there are some fisheries that are not state-specific but span the West Coast and occur in federal waters. And so there's some coordination amongst the different states on catches that are landed in those different states from that common fishery. And then our role is to provide advice to the Pacific Council and IPHC to do the catch accounting, the implementation of the regulations. We facilitate the stakeholder input, solicit input on regulatory changes, and we provide enforcement of those regulations. So the Halibut Commission's management structure, they were established by a convention in 1923. There are six commissioners, three from the U.S. and three from Canada. The U.S. commissioners are appointed by the President of the United States and the Canadian commissioners by the General Governor of Canada. There are no term limits and there are no specifications relative to those seats. However, the historical representation has been that one of the three seats from the U.S. is from the National Marine Fisheries Service. It's the regional administrator from Alaska. And from Canada, it's the lead of their Canada Department of Fisheries and Oceans. The chairmanship rotates between the U.S. and Canada eat on an annual basis, and there's an annual meeting each year in January to set the quotas for all of the areas. Following the commission's meeting, their decisions are forwarded to their respective governments for approval. So essentially, there are six commissioners, but each country gets one vote, and it has to be a unanimous vote for those decisions to be forwarded to their governments. So if there is an opposing vote, essentially a tie, that decision does not get carried forward, and they need to continue to try and work that out. They have four advisory boards that advise them. The conference board, which is made up of harvesters from tribal, sport, and commercial fisheries, they attend the annual meeting and advise on regulatory changes and on quotas for the different management areas. Processor advisory group, that's processors, and they also provide advice at the annual meeting. Regulatory changes are things such as minimum size limits for the commercial fishery, opening dates for the commercial fisheries. There's also a scientific review board that has scientists from the U.S. and Canada. They review the stock assessment each year and provide advice and recommendations on research or future surveys that the commission does. And then there's a management strategy advisory board that's a fairly large group. It's got 26 individuals on it, comprised of fishery managers and stakeholders. And I'm the representative on the MSAB for the Pacific Fishery Management Council. So I represent the West Coast fisheries on that group. And the purpose of that group is to evaluate the policies and procedures, set the long-term goals and objectives for managing the halibut fisheries. So here are the different regulatory areas that have been adopted by the Halibut Commission. They, as you'll see, they span from Alaska and the Bering Sea through the Gulf, down off of British Columbia, and then in the far lower right corner, you'll see Area 2A. That is the West Coast. So that is spans from the U.S.-Canada border down through Northern California. The primary spawning aggregations, the central lies a portion of the halibut stock is in the area that you see there. That's area 4, C, D, and E. So that's up in the Bering Sea. So the area 2A, the West Coast, we are at the very, very tail end of the halibut stock relative to its range. In general, the Halibut Commission has more stringent harvest policies that it places on the area of Area 4, C, D, and E, where they're trying to protect the primary spawning aggregations, and then they allow more aggressive harvest policies the further you get away from that area. So the Halibut Commission's policies and regulations are looking at achieving conservation and long-term fishery sustainability. The convention in 1923 is really just a few sentences long, and it's about that simple. It says they are to preserve the halibut stock and the halibut fishery in the U.S. and Canada. There is an average coastwide harvest rate that they try to achieve of about 19 to 20%. And as I mentioned, the harvest rates in Area 4, C, D, and E, for example, are lower than where they than in Areas 2 and 3, including the West Coast. And then all of the harvest rates across all of those regulatory areas are averaged each year to achieve that 19 to 20% overall. The Halibut Commission's regulations include that commercial harvest must be by long line or hook and line gear only. So halibut are caught in trawl gear and in net fisheries, but they are not allowed to retain those halibut or sell those halibut. So only halibut that are caught by long line or hook and line gear, such as our salmon troll gear, recreational sport fisheries, are the fish that can be retained. The Halibut Commission also has a license that's required for all commercial fisheries and charter boats, and that's issued on an annual basis. And they set the commercial regulations and general sport rules. And the general sport rules are more relative to, I'll characterize them as sportsmanship type rules that apply to the U.S. and Canada, and then they look to those different areas to provide the more specific regulations on bag limits and possession limits, season dates, and so on. So in calculating the quota each year, the Halibut Commission does an annual coastwide stock assessment. They do an annual longline survey throughout the range of halibut in all of those areas. They do provide for some adjustment factors depending on when the timing of the survey occurs relative to the fisheries that have occurred in that area, and also for hook competition. So as they set their longline gear for halibut, they will often encounter a spiny dogfish or arrowtooth flounder that will take the bait prior to catching a halibut. So they account for that as well. They calculate what is a constant exploitation yield. So that's looking at, from a long-term perspective, what's the appropriate harvest level on a coastwide basis, again, throughout the entire area on the halibut stock in order to primarily protect the spawning females. Then for each of those regulatory areas, they look at what they characterize as other removals. And other removals are the fisheries bycatch, so that's the catch by trawl gear and net fisheries that they're not allowed to retain. So essentially fish that are discarded. And then there's also a discard that occurs in the targeted halibut longline fisheries. So they're also managed on a quota basis, and there is halibut that are discarded in that fishery as well. As I mentioned, there is a minimum size limit for commercial halibut, and so undersized halibut are discarded in the directed fishery. So So moving on to implementation of those general regulations by the Pacific Fishery Management Council. So here, as we look at in calculating the total allowable catch or quota for the West Coast for Area 2A, you'll see that our quota, what comes off the top, is the trawl bycatch that occurs off the West Coast. So when the quota for our area is calculated coming out of the stock assessment, the amount of trawl bycatch that is going to be projected to occur that year is subtracted off the top of our quota, and then what's remaining is what the different fisheries are allowed to harvest in that upcoming year. So through the Pacific Council, we have worked very hard and successfully to reduce the amount of trawl bycatch that occurs in the West Coast. And through the development of the trawl individual quota program that was implemented in January of 2011, we included a halibut bycatch quota. So essentially, trawl fishermen are not allowed to retain or sell their halibut, but they do have observers on board that count all of the halibut that are being caught, and every halibut that is caught counts against an individual quota that that fisherman has for that vessel. Once that quota is reached, that fisherman can acquire more quota from another fisherman if it's available for sale, but basically has to stop fishing until he acquires additional quota to cover any additional halibut catch that he may have. So since we implemented this program in 2011, the halibut bycatch mortality has been reduced by 85% compared to where it was previously. And this graph just shows what the quota has been for the West Coast is in the red line. You'll see we were experiencing a downward trend from about 2005 through 2010. Once we put in that trawl IFQ and reduced our bycatch, beginning in 2011, we're back on an upward trend for halibut fisheries. This shows what the halibut catch sharing is, or the allocations in the Pacific Council's catch sharing plan. So starting up at the top, this is our quota for the West Coast for 2016 is 1.14 million pounds of halibut. Through a court order that we engaged with primarily the Macaw tribe, but they were joined by a couple other Puget Sound tribes, notably the Lummi tribe. They sought a federal court determination. We provided some information in relative to the distribution of halibut that occur, and the tribe tribe's total allocation ended up at 35% rather than 50% of the halibut resource. So we were able to demonstrate that the amount of halibut that would be available through the tribal's collectively usual and accustomed fishing areas was roughly 70% of the total amount of halibut that would be available to the West Coast. So the tribes were awarded 50% of that 70%, so ended up with 35% of the West Coast total. The tribes have a commercial fishery that is subject to the Halibut Commission's commercial fishing regulations, and then they reserve a portion of their quota for their ceremonial and subsistence fisheries. So within the non-tribal total, we have a commercial total quota of 227,487 pounds. And then that compares to a Washington. I'm sorry. Yes?
Does the tribal quota include non-Washington tribes?
So the tribal total is for all tribes that can harvest, have a marine usual and accustomed fishing area that can harvest halibut.
Some of those outside of Washington?
No.
No.
No. But if there were, it would include them. Yes. So the again, the commercial allocation is roughly, I'm going to say, about a third of the non-tribal total. The Washington sport allocation's about a third, and the Oregon sport allocation's about a third. The California sport allocation was recently increased. They used to share their quota with Southern Oregon. However, the halibut range has been extended into Northern California, and they approached the Pacific Fishery Management Council and asked for an increase in their quota. And they have developed a sport fishery down there over the last 5 years or so. So halibut are pretty fully subscribed amongst the different fisheries that you see here. You'll see there's lots of pieces to that pie, and pretty much all of those fisheries take what's allocated to them. So we did make some concessions to allow the California sport fishery to increase their quota somewhat, noting that their sport seasons are considerably longer than what Oregon and Washington experience. And so for that quota of 29,640 pounds, they are still able to achieve a season that's about 2.5 to 3 months long, 7 days a week, whereas both Oregon and Washington are looking at 3 to 4 days to 8 days, kind of as the longest season that we're experiencing. So just to put that into perspective. So the management efforts that our agency puts forward in support of halibut, we solicit the stakeholder input on regulations and season dates. We monitor the catches in season relative to the quotas that are assigned through that catch sharing plan. We monitor the achievement of commercial incidental catches that are allowed in the salmon, troll, and sablefish fisheries, and note that the salmon troll fishery is the West Coast-wide fishery, so there's coordination that has to occur amongst the West Coast states as the halibut that are caught in the salmon troll fishery are landed into those different states. So we have to do some coordination to keep a West Coast tally relative to the quota. WDFW also enforces the regulations, and we coordinate our in-season management actions with the Halibut Commission, NIMS, and the other states. So, for example, as our either our recreational fishery or our salmon troll fishery or the sablefish fishery, if they are close to achieving their quota, we project they're going to achieve their quota, then Heather will coordinate with the Halibut Commission and NIMS, and if it's a fishery that we share with another state, then with the other states, we schedule a conference call. We all report what our catches have been and what we project, when we would project the quota is going to be achieved, and we reach agreement on when the fishery should be closed, when it's going to achieve that quota. IPHC and the NIMS update their regulatory hotlines. Each of the states adopts emergency regulations, and everybody issues news releases and tries to get the word out as quickly as possible. We are also the communication agency with IPHC, the council, NIMS, the tribes, and stakeholders on what are the different regulatory changes, what are the quota projections, and you know, when our fisheries projected to achieve their quotas, and closure notices and that kind of thing. Relative to our sport catch monitoring, so we have our ocean sampling program and our Puget Sound sampling program, and they have staff that are in all of our marine catch areas that monitor our boat ramps. And they interview anglers at our different access sites and boat ramps. When they do their interview of anglers returning back from halibut trip and they have halibut on board, then they measure those halibut to determine the length, and then that gets converted into an average weight, and then that's what we use to track the quota. So the quota is provided to us in pounds, and we have to convert our catch into pounds for our quota tracking. Our port samplers also record the amount of catch that occurs. They collect biological samples. On the coast, we have currently in place a quota-managed fishery. So in season, we track when that quota is projected to be reached. And again, the fisheries there typically last anywhere from 3 to 5 days, because we have that amount of effort that occurs and the quota is taken that quickly. Currently within Puget Sound, we take their quota each year and we set a season, pre-season, trying to estimate when we think that quota is going to be achieved. We still sample and monitor their fishery, but we don't do any in-season action on Puget Sound currently. So again, one of the reports that we provided to you goes into more depth on how we estimate the Puget Sound halibut catches. But in general, what we have been doing is we do a combination of port sampling efforts. That's where we collect the catch information, the numbers of fish that are caught, and we measure the lengths of the fish to convert to a weight. Then we follow up with a telephone survey that's done. It's done on what we call a wave, a two-month wave. So that starts each year in January, February represents wave one, and so on throughout the year. At the end of wave one, there's a phone survey that's done of all anglers in Puget Sound to determine what the effort, fishing effort was in Puget Sound. And this is done across all fisheries. So it's not just for halibut, but it's also done for our bottom fish fisheries and so on. Once the phone survey is completed for Puget Sound, and we have an effort estimate for the halibut fishery, then we calculate a CPUE using the catch information from the port sampling program for the catch portion, and we generate a catch per unit of effort for specifically for halibut. The new method, so in 2015 and 2016, we received a grant from NOAA that allowed us to do what we've termed an intensive survey. So we were able to have port samplers in 2015 at the boat ramps doing all of the exit counts for all of the boats for whatever reason, recreational boating, salmon fishing, bottom fish fishing, and halibut fishing. They just simply counted all of the boats, all of the effort that occurred out there. In 2016, we were able to expand that within Puget Sound, and we were also able to do overflights similar to what we do for the salmon fishery. So we were able to actually count boat effort on the water during the halibut fishery. So that allowed us to generate a CPUE and real-time halibut catch estimates similar to what's done in the coastal areas within Puget Sound. We also have catch record cards, and you've heard about this before. You'll hear more about this afternoon, but we currently have a catch record card that includes all species. We don't have one that is specific to halibut, but that is one of the things that will be proposed. Our catch record card system right now, they're required to be returned 1 year after the halibut season ends. So they're really not useful for any type of real-time monitoring or in-season management. But we are able to look back and hindcast what we have in catch reporting from the catch record cards compared to the previous year's port sampling and phone survey efforts to see how those numbers compare. So this is a graph that shows you how those numbers compare. And what you'll see down in the black line is what the Puget Sound quota has been for halibut. The blue line is what is our catch estimate that's generated through our port sampling efforts and phone survey that we're able to do. And then the catch record card, so the angler's self-reporting, again, 1 year with a 1 year time lag, follows the same general trend that we see in our catch estimate. So that's good. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see something that deviates from that. But you'll also see that it tends to be about twice as high of what our catch estimate has generated. And our catch estimate is typically already twice as high as what the quota is for that area. So this, needless to say, has raised some red flags with the Halibut Commission and with NIMS, which prompted the Halibut Commission to send that letter in June to the Pacific Council that I shared with you, calls out the need for better catch accounting and specifically points out the Puget Sound catches have been significantly higher than the quota in recent years. So the three primary issues that we have for halibut management are allocation and catch sharing. And so I did mention the California sport fishery that has emerged in the last 5 years or so, and they've come forward through the council requesting additional quota. We did, through the council process, provide them with additional quota by having every other sector give up a proportional amount to the California sport fishery, ended up in total, again, giving an allocation to California that accommodates a season, you know, about 2.5 to 3 months long. The other issue that has come up is the tribal fishery. So the tribes have the court order at 35%. Certainly they've been following the expansion of the range of halibut within Area 2A to include Northern California. This year, also, a couple days before the tribal commercial fishery was to open, the Quileute tribe filed an injunction in federal court against all of the other tribes to stop their fishery from opening because of the way that the tribal fishery was proposed to be shared for the tribal seasons. I was able to sit in on the discussion and presentation to Judge Martinez and listen to his decision as a participant in the U.S. v. Washington process. Judge Martinez did grant the stay to Quileute, so we were surprised by that. The Macaw and other tribes tried to get that request dismissed. And then after hearing all of the information, Judge Martinez basically struck a balance between what the Quileute was requesting and what the Macaw was requesting, came out slightly more in favor toward the Quileute, and the tribes moved forward with the new season schedule established by the court, and were able to provide a second fishery that allowed Quileute to participate, which was their objective. So through the course of that discussion, however, the tribes did discuss about how the halibut fishery had really been initiated by the Macaw tribe that has historically fished for halibut and then has expanded into Puget Sound to include the Lummi and the Tulalip tribes. And then now we have about 20 treaty tribes that all want to participate in the tribal halibut fishery. So there has been some discussion amongst the tribes about how their 35% being shared amongst the 20 treaty tribes is not enough in their opinion. So that is one of the allocation issues out there. At the request primarily of California, The council did ask the Halibut Commission just what data are available that could help inform any allocation decision. So survey data that's available, commercial fishery logbook data, what information do they have that could potentially inform any future consideration of allocation changes? The second issue is the season length of our sport fisheries in Washington. So again, the coastal fisheries have about 3 to 5 days before their quota is reached and they're closed in season. Puget Sound, their fishery has, it lasted about 17 to 20 days 5 years ago, and it's down to 8 days here this year and last year. However, as you saw from the graph, with their 8-day season, they're still taking more than their quota. So one of the things that we've been working with our halibut anglers on, again, we have another meeting coming up on September 1st. That represents the 6th meeting that we've had with our advisors. And over the course of the last year, this idea came up about developing a statewide season. So right now, the coastal areas and Puget Sound all have different seasons. And we've tried in recent years to overlap the Niobe Lapush fishery with the Puget Sound season dates as much as possible. But the Puget Sound season is still twice as long as the Niobe Lapush fishery. And so what we have seen is that we have a significant group of anglers that will go and fish for halibut wherever the season happens to be open. So they will go and hit the halibut opener in Westport, which opens first. Then Westport achieves their quota faster by having that effort there. Then that effort shifts up north to Niobe and Lapush and shifts within Puget Sound. So they're hitting all of the different areas. And if we had a statewide season, common days of the week, common season, then anglers would choose which area they're going to go fish. And each area's quota would last longer, respectively. So by doing so, we think, you know, it's not going to be gangbusters with a season that's twice as long, but maybe they'll get another 1 or 2 days in each area by making anglers choose where they're going to go on those days. So again, we have another meeting coming up on September 1st to talk about that, hopefully to be in place for next year. And then the final item is that the Puget Sound catches have been exceeding their quota. As I mentioned, we did have that intensive survey effort in 2015. We expanded it in 2016. We will be producing a report on that survey. Our preliminary estimates, which we have shared with our Puget Sound advisors, indicate that we had already achieved our quota about midway through our Puget Sound season this year. So we are looking to having to do something to ensure that we're tracking that better. With the Halibut Commission's letter to the Pacific Council, the Pacific Council was very interested in having our Puget Sound fishery move toward an in-season quota management system. And so the California sport fishery had started out a few years back using a set season approach like we had in Puget Sound. They have moved in California to an in-season management quota monitoring system that they've had in place. This is their second year. So really all fisheries are under a quota managed system now, with the exception of our Puget Sound fishery. So the Halibut Commission and the council was very adamant about the Puget Sound fishery following suit. So we did have a meeting in in May, about halfway through our Puget Sound season, with our advisors and gave them a heads up that we would be looking to doing a quota managed fishery beginning next year. We think if we're able to continue this intensive monitoring effort, we'll be able to achieve that. Through those advisory group meetings, Ron Garner from Puget Sound Anglers also submitted a proposal to us for a dedicated catch record card that would require that catch record card to be submitted earlier, similar to what we do for Puget Sound crab. That would give us some information to work with earlier and to consider having some sort of a penalty imposed if it's not returned. So that is something that we are folding into our legislative package. And again, you'll be hearing more about that this afternoon. But that seems to have very general, broad support by PSA and CCA in moving in that direction. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Yes, thank you. Pretty complicated stuff, but you did a really good job. I'm looking at the California expansion. Is that range expansion actually of halibut? Yeah, interesting. They have some coastal tribes, so is there a possibility that they will start participating and then be part of this piece of the tribal pie?
Yes, thank you for the question. No, so they do have coastal tribes, and Oregon does as well, but they don't. Those tribes do not have treaty fishing rights in the ocean.
Okay, thank you.
Really excellent kind of initial primer, because this is so complicated as a fishery, and I think one of the reasons why it's so complicated is the value placed on this fish. I mean, everybody wants halibut, and your pie chart here really gives you the flavor of just the competition that's out there for the finite quota. But the part of it that I'm not very familiar with is the non-Indian, non-tribal commercial fishery that we have. Can you give me the flavor of how many boats there are? Is this Washington, Oregon, and California? So they operate in the EEZ, or what's going on there?
Yeah, thanks. It is Washington, Oregon, California. It is primarily Oregon.
Okay.
So there's it has to occur south of Point Chehalis, so south of Grays Harbor, Washington. So there's no commercial fishery allowed north of Grays Harbor, Washington. So it includes the southern portion of Washington, all of Oregon, and northern California. There aren't stellar halibut fishing grounds off the southern portion of the Washington coast. And so typically the commercial directive fishery occurs off of Oregon. Washington also, we have, through the Pacific Fishery Management Council, we have a nearshore closure that extends from the shore out to 100 fathoms. So all long-line commercial hook-and-line activities for halibut have to be seaward of 100 fathoms. So that pushes them further offshore off of Washington. And again, there's not a lot of halibut fishing grounds in that area. So they are primarily focused off of Oregon. Also in Oregon, they have an opening that extends from the shore to either 30 fathoms or 60 fathoms during different parts of the year, so that it allows for halibut to be caught more near shore off of Oregon. And there are also better halibut fishing grounds available in the deep waters adjacent to Oregon. So the commercial fishery for that quota of 227,000 pounds, The directed fishery is allocated the 193,364. That typically is taken within 2 days, within a 48-hour harvest period. So there is no limit in terms of license limitation. There's no limited entry, but they do have to get a license from the Halibut Commission each year to participate. And again, their quota is achieved in about 2 days. The salmon troll incidental fishery and the sable fish incidental fisheries. So off of Washington, back in the early 1990s, primarily when some of our salmon trollers, commercial hook and line fishermen, and our recreational charter boats, their salmon seasons started getting curtailed as we went through implementation of the Bolt decision. So we're looking at the late 80s, early 90s, and salmon opportunity started to drop off. Many of those harvesters started looking at bottom fish and halibut fishing opportunities. So a commercial fishery developed off of Washington that occurred in our state waters. And through a pretty intensive process, we made a conscious decision to allocate halibut and bottom fish for the primary benefit of the recreational fishery. And we closed our state waters to any commercial hook and line harvest. We also closed our state waters to trawling, so there was no bycatch of halibut occurring in our state waters either. Through the council process, by making that conscious decision, we said, hey, we do have a group of salmon trollers and hook and line sable fish fishermen, long line sable fish fishermen that have been relying on halibut to supplement their salmon and their sable fish income. We have closed state waters, but it's a federal resource. Their fishery is in federal waters. So through negotiations, we were able to allow them to retain a very small portion of the commercial allocation, as you'll see here. 34,000 pounds for salmon troll, again, West Coast wide, 49,000 for sable fish, and allocate the majority, you know, two-thirds of the non-tribal total to sport fisheries.
And just quickly, the salmon troll and sable fish, are they mostly in Washington, or mostly in Oregon?
Or? Yeah, the salmon troll depends. It can occur. It occurs in Oregon and Washington. It's throughout the salmon troll season. The salmon troll season can be as early as March off of Oregon. So they get an opportunity off of Oregon before Washington salmon trollers. Their season opens off of Washington. And so it really depends from year to year. In some cases, we'll see more of that taken in Oregon and other years off of Washington. There is limited entry in our salmon troll fishery. And typically, that lasts, the 34,000 pounds will last through the majority of the salmon troll season. The sable fish fishery is only north of Point Chehalis, so it's only north of Grays Harbor where the directed commercial fishery can't occur. And again, with the they are also closed from the shore to 100 fathoms. So in both cases, salmon troll and sable fish, their landing limits are such that it's driven by the amount of salmon and sable fish that they land, so they can't target on halibut. And for the sable fish fishery, it's only in the primary IFQ fishery opportunity that they're able to harvest that. And it also depends on year to year on whether or not they actually achieve their full amount.
Thanks.
Chair. Yeah, thanks, Michelle. I just have a couple of follow-up questions to Commissioner Wickers. I must say I'm glad I wasn't around when that shift went from commercial to recreational. That must have been a very contentious. I think Phil Anderson was involved in that, and not a pretty a drag out knockdown fight, I'm sure. But it is what it is. So I think the point is that what is that there is no directed halibut commercial fishery in Washington, right? I mean, is that fair to say?
Practically speaking, okay. That's correct.
So, and then you did mention the sable fish, the incidental catch, and that's not a done deal every year, right? That has to be the quota, the coastwide quota has to be at a certain level. There are years, and recent history, I'm pretty sure, has borne this out, where there aren't, where the quota, coastwide quota, is not large enough to allow for a sable fish incidental take or retention of halibut. Is that correct? What's that number? Do you happen to know by
That is correct. And so the catch sharing plan, the two-way tack has to be about 970,000 pounds at a minimum to offer anything to the sable fish fishery. So when the quota is less than that, they get nothing. And then when the quota is that high, there has to be at least 10,000 pounds available to allow them to retain any halibut. And then it goes up to a maximum of 70,000 pounds is the most that they would be allocated. And then if we were to have a West Coast quota that was a couple million pounds to where they hit their 70,000 total, the remainder goes back to the Washington sport fishery. So anything that they would have gotten above 70,000 goes back to the Washington sport fishery, and it's allocated according to this formula. The other thing that I would add is, as I noted here, they catch a certain amount of halibut when they're targeting their sable fish. That's just an avoidable catch. And if they're not allowed to land it, they have to discard it. When they discard it, it then comes off the top of the total quota that's available to the entire West Coast. So it's either you allow them to retain some portion of it, there's some economic benefit back to the state of Washington by letting them land it, or it's turned into bycatch and discarded, it comes off the top and hurts all of our halibut fisheries.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know if I have a question or a perspective, so I'll share my perspective with you on Puget Sound halibut. The catches are higher than the forecast. Anecdotally, I can tell you from being up there most of my life, there's more halibut now than it was 30, 40 years ago. And I think that the halibut, probably the catches are higher because there's more halibut, and there's more halibut because the abundances of, in particular, shrimp and Dungeness crab, juvenile Dungeness crab. We've had rock restrictions, we've had lingcod restrictions, and halibut will eat anything. And so I think that's probably part of the rationale. It doesn't mean anything. But I guess I was going to ask you as well for a comment. You know, British Columbia has changed the way they manage their fisheries quite a lot on halibut. You get one under, one over, you get one a day only, and you can get one about 70 pounds and one about 20 pounds, all the way up to Alaska. And it seems to be working very, very well for them. The halibut fishing in southern Georgia Strait, I don't know what their quota is, but the halibut fishing in southern Georgia Strait, particularly right off of Victoria, is pretty incredible. Your thoughts?
Yes. So I appreciate that. And it is primarily because of the difference in quota. So where we're at 1.14 million pounds, Canada, British Columbia's quota is anywhere from 7.5 to 9.5 million pounds per year. So we're roughly one-tenth of their quota. They have a lot more halibut with which to offer opportunity with. So we do typically get questions about why can't we be more like Canada or offer Canada seasons or their regulations. We just simply don't have the fish available in our quota to offer that kind of opportunity.
Last question, and I know this is on TVW, there'll be some people that probably don't like it, but I don't think halibut should be a trophy fish. I think, you know, when you can, in Canada, you can keep a fish up, I can't remember how many centimeters, but it's basically about 70 pounds. You know, you're historically taking the males, the fish that are over 70, 80, 90 pounds, 170 pounds, females. I don't know if we've given any thought to that management criteria, but I truly think it's worth talking about. If we're going to increase abundance, we have to increase spawning abundance.
Thanks. Yes, that is something that comes up almost every year at the Halibut Commission is, do they have the appropriate minimum size limit? Should they consider a slot limit or some upper maximum limit? I will say in the context of Washington's fisheries, we are a drop in the bucket at 1 million pounds compared to, you know, a coastwide harvestable amount of 40 million pounds. Having our angler, the odd angler that happens to catch 170-pound halibut, being forced to release it, given where we are relative to the coastwide total, hasn't really, you know, made a lot of sense. We certainly don't want to be more restrictive on our fishery, I guess, than other states or other areas are on their sport fishery, if the amount that we take overall is so small. So it has come up at the Halibut Commission. I think it's more a question of, you know, for their commercial fishery, or that's a directed fishery that takes a lot more quota than what we have.
I think Commissioner Carpenter was suggesting that imposing the maximum size limit might lead to greater productivity, and that would be a circumstance in which we could take more restrictive actions justifiably, I think. So do we have an understanding of what historic levels of halibut abundance were? And where we stand in relation to capacity, habitat capacity, you know, how do we think about what's possible?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that is one of the things, you know, that the council has requested from the Halibut Commission is, what is that historical data relative to the survey, to the abundance and distribution? I don't think there's nearly as much information off the West Coast or off Washington as there is for Canada and Alaska, but that is one of the pieces of information that we've requested from them.
I have one more question, because his stomach's starting to make a lot of noise. So what process would we have to go through other than asking you this maximum size limit consideration? What hoops would we have to go through for that to be evaluated at either one of the councils?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. You don't have to go through any other process other than to just make that request to me. So that is something that we could bring forward. We would bring it forward through the Pacific Council, and it could be considered there. It could be considered directly to the Halibut Commission. That's something we could bring forward directly to the Halibut Commission as well. So we are, again, we've requested some additional information about what's available. We do want to make sure that if we were to consider some maximum size limit, we are looking at what's the appropriate maximum size that's going to make a difference. And we want to make sure that there are, you know, benefits to doing that. So again, that we're waiting for that information to do that evaluation, but we can certainly bring that forward for consideration.
Can you report back to us on that at some point? Because I don't have the authority to ask you to do this. The inspector has to ask you to do it, but I would encourage some feedback on it when we can.
You bet.
Thank you.
Joe, you got something?
Cool. Commissioner Mankin had his hand up, but that's okay.
Michelle will be able to answer easily. My understanding is that these are highly migratory, that tagged halibut in the area of the Bering Sea, the Aleutians, have been found off the Washington-Oregon coasts, which would indicate that maybe this is a single population. If this is a single population of halibut, how does that affect management?
This was the simple question. So, yes. Well,
the simple answer would be it doesn't.
Yes. So the Halibut Commission, through their research and surveys, believes that there is one stock of halibut, and where the different spawning activities may occur, what the migratory patterns are. We really don't know. So they are tagging halibut, actively tagging halibut. We do have tag recoveries from halibut that were tagged in the Bering Sea. Whether they go and spawn in the Strait of Georgia, or if they're spawning in, you know, off the coast of Washington, or whether they migrate back to the Bering Sea, we don't know. So from a conservation perspective, they are managing it as one coastwide population. So it, from that perspective, it really hasn't affected management per se. Yeah.
Thank you.
You do get a return rate on those tags. Is it a handful or?
It's a handful. It's a few.
Where do you tag a halibut?
The Halibut Commission tag.
No, where?
We're on the fish.
Right. On the fish.
Oh. Body part.
Yes. Yeah.
On the gill plate. It extends out from the.
Good. Thank you. Information. Yeah. Lots of it.
Yeah. I'm hungrier now.
Chair Michelle, when we were at Port Townsend a couple of other times, I've heard people request us to evaluate a almost like a deer tag system for halibut, and I was wondering, could you just briefly describe how that might work? That it's laid out there from a safety standpoint, that people are sometimes forced to fish on tough weather days, and if we had a one or two fish per year kind of system, then they could spread out their fishery a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for the question. That is a question, a suggestion that comes up pretty often in our advisory group meetings. Based on the information that we have right now, the self-reported catch on the catch record cards, we have over 80% or so, 86% of the halibut that are reported per angler are two fish or less right now. So putting an annual limit of two fish, which had been the request, really doesn't accomplish much, because more than, almost 90% of people are not catching more than two fish right now. So to have an effect, you could go to a one fish annual limit. Anglers have not wanted to go to a one fish annual limit, but even from that perspective, you're not having as great an effect with that change. The primary issue with the halibut tag proposal is that the catch per unit of effort, primarily in Puget Sound, is fairly low. And actually, the catch per unit, it's the daily bag limit is one halibut per angler throughout the state. In the coastal areas, we typically achieve a CPUE of one or close to one in all of our ports. In Puget Sound, it's considerably less than that. And so what we have seen is we will have anywhere from, 8,000 to 12,000 angler trips in Puget Sound that go and fish those 8 days. If we took the Puget Sound quota and we divided it by the average weight of halibut that we see in the Puget Sound fishery. The number of fish that we could catch, the number of tags that we could issue, if you will, is somewhere around 3,000. So we have right now, you know, a population of anglers that are buying licenses, paying for the opportunity to go catch a halibut, aren't successfully catching one. But if we were to go to a tag system, that would significantly reduce our recreational fishing opportunity, the ability for anglers to even go and try and fish for a halibut. And so we just have not, from a department perspective, not wanted to reduce recreational opportunity and certainly not reduce license sales for recreational harvesters. So that's been the primary driver.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you again. And